Through the glass wall separating my office from the rest of the floor, I watched Arash round the corner on his way to reception, and then I mentally brushed the whole thing aside. Ava would be with me shortly, the very thing I'd been waiting for since the workday started. But of course, it couldn't be that easy. A flash of crimson in the corner of my eye just a few moments later had me looking back out at the work floor and seeing Corinne marching toward my office with Arash hot on her heels. Her chin lifted when our eyes met. Her tight smile widened, transforming her from a beautiful woman to a stunning one. I could admire her the way I would admire anything except Ava. Objectively. Dispassionately. Now happily married, I could fully grasp what a horrible mistake it would have been to marry Corinne. It was unfortunate for all of us that she refused to see it. I stood and rounded my desk. The look I swept over both Arash and Scott called them off from any further action. If Corinne wanted to deal with me directly, I'd give her one last opportunity to do the right thing. She glided into my office on red stilettos. The strapless dress she wore was the same hue as the shoes and showed off both her long legs and pale skin. She wore her hair down, the black strands sliding around her bare shoulders. She was the polar opposite of my wife, and a mirror image of every other woman who'd passed through my life.
"Gideon, surely you can spare a few minutes for an old friend?"
Leaning back into my desk, I crossed my arms. "And extend the courtesy of not calling security. Make it quick, Corinne." She smiled, but her eyes, the color of aquamarines, were sad. She had a small red box tucked under her arm. When she reached me, Corinne offered it to me. "What is this?" I asked, without reaching for it.
"These are the photos that will appear in the book."
My brow arched. I found myself unfolding and accepting the box, driven by curiosity. It hadn't been too long ago that we'd been together, but I scarcely remembered the details. What I had were impressions, big moments, and regret. I'd been so young, with a dangerous lack of self-awareness. Corinne set her purse on my desk, moving in a way that brushed her arm against mine. Wary, I reached over and hit the button that controlled the opacity of the glass wall. If she wanted to put on a show, I'd make sure she didn't have an audience. Taking the lid off the box, I was confronted with a photo of Corinne and me entangled in front of a bonfire. Her head was nestled in the crook of my shoulder, her face tilted up so I could press a kiss to her lips. The memory assailed me immediately. We'd taken a day trip to a friend's house in the Hamptons. The weather had been cool, fall giving way to winter. In the picture, we looked happy and in love. And in a way, I suppose we were. But I'd refused the invitation to spend the night, despite Corinne's obvious disappointment. With my nightmares, I couldn't sleep beside her. And I couldn't fuck her, though I knew that was what she wanted, because the hotel room I reserved for that purpose was miles away. So many hang-ups. So many lies and evasions. I took a deep breath and let the past go. Ava and I were married last month. She stiffened. Setting the box down on the desktop, I reached for my smartphone and showed her the picture wallpapering my screen. Ava and I sharing the kiss that sealed our vows. Turning her head, Corinne looked away. Then she reached into the box, flipping through the top few photos to pull out one of us at the beach. I was standing waist-deep in the surf. Corinne was twined around me from the front, her legs wrapped around my waist, her arms draped over my shoulders, and her hands in my hair. Her head was tossed back on a laugh, her joy radiating from the image. I gripped her fiercely, my face upturned to watch her. There was gratitude there, and wonder, affection, desire. Strangers would see it and think it was love. Which was Corinne's goal? I denied that I ever loved anyone before Ava, which was no less than the truth. Corinne was determined to prove me wrong in the most public way possible. Leaning over, she looked at the picture, then at me. Her expectation was tangible, as if some monumental epiphany was supposed to strike me. She toyed with her necklace, and I realized it was one I'd given her, a small gold heart on a simple chain. For fuck's sake. I didn't even remember who took the damn photo, or where we were at the time. And it didn't matter. What do you expect these photos to prove, Corinne? We dated. We ended. You married, and now I have. There's nothing left.
Then why are you getting so upset? You're not indifferent, Gideon.
No, I'm irritated. These only make me appreciate what I have with Ava more. And knowing that they'll hurt her sure as hell doesn't make me feel sentimental about the past. This is our final goodbye, Corinne. I held her gaze, making sure she saw my resolve. If you come back here, security won't let you through.
I won't be back. You'll have to...
Scott beeped through, and I picked up the phone. Yes?
Miss Trammell is here for you.
I leaned over the desk again, tapping the button that opened the doors. A moment later, Ava walked in. Would the day ever come when I would see her and not feel the earth shift beneath my feet? She came to an abrupt halt, giving me the pleasure of taking in the sight of her. Ava was a natural blonde, with pale streaks framing a delicate face and accentuating stormy gray eyes that I could spend hours looking into, and had. She was petite but dangerously curved, her body deliciously soft to roll around with in bed. I might have called her angelically beautiful, if not for the lush sensuality that always made me think of and crave wickedly raw sex. Without volition, my mind filled with the memory of her scent and the feel of her beneath my hands. The throaty laugh that brought me joy and the fiery quick temper that rocked me on my feet were visceral recollections. Everything in me thrummed to life, a surge of energy and awareness I felt at no other time than when I was with her. Corinne spoke first.
Hello, Ava.
I bristled. The urge to shield and protect the most valuable thing in my life overrode any other consideration. Straightening, I tossed the photo back in the box and went to my wife. Compared to Corinne, she was dressed demurely in a black pinstriped skirt and a sleeveless silk blouse that gleamed like a pearl. The surge of heat I felt was all the proof I needed as to which woman was sexier. Ava, now and forever. The pull I felt drew me across the room in long, quick strides. Angel. I didn't say the word aloud, didn't want Corinne to hear it, but I could see that Ava felt it. I reached for her hand, felt a tingle of deep recognition that tightened my grip. She shifted to look past me and acknowledged the woman who was no rival.
Corinne?
I didn't turn to look.
I have to run, Corinne said behind me. Those copies are for you, Gideon.
Unable to take my gaze off Ava, I spoke over my shoulder. Take them with you. I don't want them.
You should finish going through them, she countered, approaching.
Why? Aggravated, I glanced at Corinne when she stopped next to us. If I have any interest in seeing them, I can always flip through your book. Her smile tightened.
Goodbye, Ava. Gideon.
As she left, I took another step toward my wife, closing the final bit of distance between us. I caught her other hand, leaning over her to breathe in the scent of her perfume. Calm drifted through me. I'm glad you came. I whispered the words against her forehead, needing every connection I could manage. I miss you so much. Closing her eyes, she leaned into me with a sigh. Feeling the lingering strain in her, I tightened my grip on her hands. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I just wasn't expecting to see her.
Neither was I. As much as I hated to pull away, I hated the thought of those photos even more. Returning to my desk, I put the lid back on the box and tossed the whole thing into the trash.
I quit my job, she said. Tomorrow's my last day.
That decision was one I'd wanted her to come to. I believed it was the best and safest step for her to take. But I knew what a difficult conclusion it must have been for her to make. Ava loved her job and the people she worked with. Knowing how well she could read me, I kept my tone neutral. Did you?
Yep.
I studied her. What's next for you then?
I've got a wedding to plan.
Ah. My mouth curved. After days of fearing she had second thoughts and wanted out of our marriage, it was a relief to hear otherwise. Good to know. I beckoned her closer with a crook of my finger.
Meet me halfway, she shot back, with a glint of challenge in her eyes.
How could I resist? We met in the middle of the room. That was why we were going to get past this and every other hurdle we faced. We would always meet each other halfway. She wouldn't ever be the docile wife my friend Arnaldo Ricci had wished for me. Ava was too independent, too fierce. She had a jealous streak a mile wide. She was demanding and stubborn, and she defied me just to drive me crazy. And that friction worked in a way it never could have with any other woman, because Ava was meant for me. I believed that, as I believed in nothing else. Is this what you want? I asked her quietly, searching her face for the answer.
You're what I want. The rest is just logistics.
My mouth was suddenly dry, and my heartbeat too quick. When she lifted a hand to brush my hair back, I caught her wrist and pressed her palm to my cheek, my eyes closing as I absorbed her touch. The past week melted away. The days we'd spent apart, the hours of silence, the crippling fear. She'd been showing me all day that she was ready to move ahead, that I'd made the right decision to talk to Dr. Peterson. To talk to her. Not only didn't she turn away, she wanted me more. And she called me miraculous. Ava sighed. I felt the last of her tension drift away. We stood there, reconnecting with each other, taking the strength we needed. It shook me to the core to know that I could bring her some measure of peace. And what had she brought me? Everything. The way Angus's face brightened when Ava exited the Crossfire building moved me in ways I could never explain. Angus MacLeod was quiet by nature and by training. He rarely showed any emotion at all, but he made an exception for Ava. Or maybe he couldn't help himself. God knew I couldn't.
Angus!
Ava flashed him her bright, open smile.
You're looking especially dapper today.
I watched as the man I loved like a father touched the brim of his chauffeur's hat and smiled back with an amusing touch of embarrassment. After my dad's suicide, my entire life was upended. In the messy years that followed, the one point of stability had been Angus, a man hired to be a driver and bodyguard, but who turned out to be a lifeline instead. At a time when I felt isolated and betrayed, when even my own mother refused to believe I'd been repeatedly raped by the therapist who was supposed to help me adjust, Angus had been the one to anchor me. He never doubted me. And when I struck out on my own, he'd come with me. As my wife's sleek, toned legs slid out of view into the back seat of the Bentley, Angus spoke. "Let's not muck it up this time, lad." My mouth twisted ruefully. "Thanks for the vote of confidence." I joined Ava, settling in, as Angus rounded the car to reach the driver's seat. I set my hand on her thigh and waited for her to look at me. "I want to take you to the beach house this weekend." She held her breath a moment, then released it in a rush.
"My mom invited us up to Westport. Stanton's asked his nephew, Martin, to come, and Martin's girlfriend, Lacey. She's Megumi's roommate. I don't know if you remember. Carrie will be there, too, of course. Anyway, I said we'd come."
Wrestling with disappointment, I considered my options.
"I want us to do some family things," she went on. "Plus, my mom wants to talk about this plan I have."
I listened as she related her lunchtime conversation with Monica. Ava studied my face as she finished.
"She said you wouldn't like the idea, but you've used the paparazzi before, when you dipped me on the sidewalk and kissed me until I couldn't think straight. You wanted that picture out there."
"Yes, but the opportunity presented itself. I didn't seek it out." "Your mother's right. There is a difference." Her lower lip curved downward, and I revised my strategy. I wanted her involved and actively participating. That meant encouragement and acknowledgement, not roadblocks. "But you're also right, Angel. If there's an audience for Corinne's book, there's a market void that needs to be filled, and we should address that." The smile she beamed at me was its own reward.
"I was thinking we could ask Carrie to take some candid photos of us this weekend," she said. "Some moments that are more personal and casual than red carpet photo ops. We can sell the ones we like best to the media and donate the proceeds to Crossroads."
The charitable foundation I'd established had plenty of funding, but I understood that raising money was a side benefit to Ava's plan to mitigate the impact of Corinne's tell-all book. Because I regretted the pain the situation was bound to cause my wife, I was prepared to support her in whatever way she needed. But that didn't mean I wouldn't fight for a weekend alone with her. "We can make it a day trip," I suggested, beginning the negotiation at the extreme, which gave me room to whittle down. "We can spend Friday night through Sunday morning in North Carolina, then spend Sunday in Westport."
"Go from North Carolina to Connecticut to Manhattan in a day? Are you nuts?"
"Friday night through Saturday night, then."
"We can't be alone like that, Gideon," she said softly, setting her hand over mine. "We need to follow Dr. Peterson's advice for a while. I think we need to spend some time dating, going out in public, figuring out how to take care of issues without using sex as a crutch."
I stared at her. "You're not saying we can't have sex."
"Just until we're married. It won't be..."
"Ava, we're already married. You can't ask me to keep my hands off you."
"I am asking."
"No." Her mouth twitched.
You can't say no.
You can't say no, I countered, my heart beginning to pound. My palms grew damp, a low-grade panic beginning to set in. It was irrational, infuriating. You want me as much as I want you. She touched my face.
I sometimes think I want you more, and I'm okay with that. But Dr. Peterson's right. We moved so fast, and we've been hitting all the speed bumps at 100 miles per hour. I feel like we have this little window of time when we can slow down. Just for a few weeks, until the wedding.
A few weeks? Christ, Ava! I pulled away, running my hand through my hair. Turning my head, I looked out the window. My mind was racing. What did this mean? Why would she ask? How the fuck was I going to talk her out of it?
I felt her slide closer, then curl up against me. Her voice lowered to a whisper. Weren't you the one who brought up the benefits of delayed gratification?
I shot her a look. And how well did that turn out? That night was one of the bigger mistakes I had made in our relationship. The evening started out so strong, and then Corinne's unexpected appearance threw everything off, spurring one of the worst arguments Ava and I ever had. An argument made more volatile by the seething sexual tension I deliberately stoked and held off on satisfying.
We were different people then.
Ava drew back, her gray eyes clear as they held mine.
You're not the same man who ignored me at that dinner.
I didn't ignore you.
And I'm not the same woman, she pushed on. Yes, seeing Corinne today made me a little twitchy, but I know she's not a threat. I know you're committed. We're committed. That's why we can do this.
The spread of my legs widened as I stretched out. I don't want to.
I don't either, but I think it's a good idea.
Her mouth softened with a smile.
It's old-fashioned and romantic to wait till the wedding night. Think how hot the sex will be when we do it.
Ava, we don't need our sex life to be any hotter.
We need it to be something we do for fun, not because we're counting on it to hold us together.
It's both, and there's nothing wrong with that.
She might as well have asked me not to eat, which I would have been more inclined to agree to, given the choice. Gideon, we have something amazing together. It's worth the effort to make us rock solid in every way.
I shook my head. It pissed me off that I was feeling anxious. It was a loss of control, and I couldn't have that with her. It wasn't what she needed. Leaning forward, I put my lips to her ear. Angel, if you're not missing the feel of my cock inside you, I need to step it up, not hold back. Her shiver made me smile inwardly.
Still, she whispered, please try. For me.
Fuck. I dropped back into my seat. As much as I wanted to say no to her, I couldn't. Not even about this. Damn it.
Don't be mad. I wouldn't ask if I didn't think it was important to try. And it's such a short time.
Ava, 5 minutes would be a short amount of time. You're talking weeks.
Baby.
She laughed softly.
You're pouting. It's so adorable.
Leaning forward, she pressed her lips to my cheek.
And really flattering. Thank you.
My gaze narrowed. I'm not agreeing to make this easy for you.
She trailed her fingers down my tie. Of course not. We'll try to make it fun. A challenge. See who breaks first.
Me, I muttered. I've got no fucking incentive to win this.
How about me, wrapped up in a bow and nothing else, as your birthday present?
I scowled. Nothing was capable of making this more palatable. Even the thought of her bursting out of a cake naked couldn't make this better. What does my birthday have to do with anything? Ava dazzled me with her smile, which only made me want her more. She was sunlight and warmth at any time. But when she was beneath me, writhing in pleasure and moaning for harder, deeper.
That's when we're getting married.
It took a second for that to sink into my lust-addled brain. I didn't know that.
I didn't either, until today. On my last break, I went online, trying to see if there was anything happening in September or October that I should consider when setting a date. Since we're getting married on the beach, we don't want it to be too cold, so we've got to get it done this month or next.
Thank God for winter, I grumbled.
Fiend. Anyway, I got a Google alert about you.
You're still doing that?
And there was a post about us on this fan site. There was...
Fan site?
Yep. There are whole sites and blogs dedicated to you. What you're wearing, who you're dating, events you're attending.
Jesus.
The one I went to had all your stats. Height, weight, eye color, birth date, everything. To be honest, it freaked me out a little that some total stranger knew other details about you that I don't. Which is another reason why I think we need to date each other and talk more.
I can recite stats while we're fucking. Problem solved. Her grin was delighted.
You slay me. Anyway, having the wedding on your birthday is a good idea, don't you think? You'll never forget our anniversary.
Our wedding anniversary is August 11th, I reminded her dryly.
We'll have two to celebrate.
She ran her hand through my hair, tripping my pulse.
Or, better yet, we'll celebrate straight through from one to the other.
August 11th through September 22nd. A full month and a half. The thought of that was almost enough to make the next few weeks bearable.
Ava! Gideon!
Dr. Lyle Peterson stood and smiled as we walked into his office. He was a tall man, and his gaze lowered a noticeable distance to take in our linked hands.
You're both looking well.
I feel good,
Ava said, sounding strong and sure. I didn't say anything, extending my hand to shake his. The good doctor knew things about me I'd hoped never to share with anyone. Because of that, I wasn't entirely comfortable with him, despite the soothing blend of neutral colors and comfortable furniture that made up his office. Dr. Peterson himself was a comfortable man, easy in his own skin. His neatly groomed gray hair did much to soften his appearance, but couldn't distract from how incisive and perceptive he was. It was hard to rely on someone who knew so much about my vulnerabilities, but I dealt with it as best I could, because I had no other choice. Dr. Peterson was a pivotal player in my marriage. Ava and I took seats on the sofa, while Dr. Peterson settled into his usual wingback chair. He left his tablet and stylus sitting on the arm and studied us with dark blue eyes that were sharp with intelligence.
Gideon, he began. Tell me what's happened since I saw you on Tuesday.
I settled back and got to the point. Ava's decided to follow your recommendation to abstain from sex until we marry publicly. Ava's low, husky laugh broke out. She leaned into me, hugging my arm.
Did you catch the note of accusation? She asked the doctor. It's all your fault he's not going to get any for a couple weeks.
It's more than 2 weeks, I argued.
But less than three, she shot back.
She smiled at Dr. Peterson.
I should have known he'd bring that up first.
What would you start with, Ava? He asked.
Gideon told me the details about his nightmare last night.
She glanced at me.
That was huge. It's a really big turning point for us.
There was no mistaking the love in her eyes when she spoke, or the gratitude and hope. It tightened my throat to see it. Talking to her about the fucked up shit in my head was the hardest thing I'd ever had to do. Even telling Dr. Peterson about Hugh had been easier. But it was all worth it, just to see that look on her face. The ugliest things about each other brought us closer. It was crazy, and it was wonderful. I pulled her hand into my lap, cupping it with both of mine. I felt the same love, gratitude, and hope that she did. Dr. Peterson picked up his tablet.
Quite a few revelations for you this week, Gideon. What brought them on?
You know.
Ava stopped seeing you.
And speaking to me.
He looked at Ava.
Was that because Gideon hired your boss away from the agency you work for?
That was the catalyst, she agreed. But we'd been building up to a breaking point. Something had to give. We couldn't keep going in circles, having the same arguments.
So you withdrew. That could be considered emotional blackmail. Was that your intent?
Her lips pursed as she weighed that. I'd call it desperation.
Why?
Because Gideon was drawing lines to define our relationship, and I couldn't imagine living within those lines for the rest of my life.
Dr. Peterson made some notes.
Gideon, what do you think about how Ava handled this situation?
It took me a minute to answer. It felt like a goddamned time warp. But 100 times worse. He glanced at me.
I remember when you first came to see me, you and Ava hadn't spoken for a couple of days.
He cut me off, she said.
She walked out, I countered. Again, it had been a night when we'd really opened up to each other. She told me about Nathan's assaults, let me see the source of what had unconsciously drawn us together. Then I'd had a nightmare about my own abuse, and she pushed me to talk about it. I couldn't, and she left me.
Ava bristled. He broke it off with me via inter-office memo. Who does that?
I didn't break it off, I corrected. I challenged you to come back. You walk away when things don't...
That's emotional blackmail.
She released my hand and shifted to face me.
You cut me off for the express purpose of making me accept your status quo. I don't like the way things are? Well then, you'll shut me out until I can't take it anymore.
Didn't you just do that to me? My jaw clenched. And you seem to take it just fine. If I don't change, you don't budge. And that killed me. She'd proven so many times that she could leave and not look back. While I couldn't breathe without her. That was a fundamental imbalance in our relationship, which gave her the upper hand in everything.
You sound resentful, Gideon, Dr. Peterson interjected.
And I don't?
Ava crossed her arms. I shook my head. It's not resentment. It's frustration. I can't walk away, but she can.
That's not fair, and it's not true. The only leverage I've got is to make you miss me. I try talking it out with you, but in the end, you do what you want. You don't tell me things, don't consult me.
I'm working on that.
Now you are, but I had to pull away to make you do it. Be honest, Gideon. I came along, and you realized you had a void in your life that I could fill, and you wanted to put me there and leave the rest of your life as it was.
What I wanted was for you to let us be us, just enjoy each other for a while.
My right to decide, to say yes or no, is fucking important to me. You've got no business taking that away from me or getting pissed when I don't like it.
Jesus. Reality check. It felt like I'd taken a punch to the gut. Considering her history, to have her feel, for even a moment, that I'd taken her choices away was a brutal blow. Ava. I knew what she needed, had recognized it from the first. I'd given her a safe word that I respected at all times, in public or private. She said the word, and I stopped. I reminded her often, made sure she always knew that the choice to cease or continue rested entirely with her. But I'd failed to make the connection when it came to her job. It was inexcusable. I turned toward her. Angel, I didn't mean to make you feel powerless. I would never, ever. I didn't think of it that way. I'm sorry. The words weren't enough. They never were. I wanted to be her fresh start, her new beginning. How could I be when I was acting like the assholes in her past? She looked at me with those eyes that saw everything I'd rather keep hidden. For once, I was grateful that she could. Her combative posture relaxed. Her gaze softened with love.
Maybe I haven't been explaining myself well.
I sat there, unable to express what was churning through my mind. When we talked about being a team and sharing our burdens, I hadn't related it to her needing the power to agree or disagree. I thought I could shield her from the troubles we faced and make things smoother for her. Ava deserved that. She poked my shoulder.
Didn't it feel good, even a little bit, to talk to me about your dream last night?
I don't know. I exhaled harshly. I just know you're happy with me because I did. If that's what it takes, then that's what I'll do. She sank back into the sofa cushions, her lips trembling. She looked at Dr. Peterson.
And now I feel guilty.
Silence. I didn't know what to say. Dr. Peterson just waited with that maddening patience. Ava took a deep, shaky breath.
I was thinking if he'd just try it my way, he'd see how much better it could be between us. But if I'm just pushing him into a corner, if I'm just blackmailing him...
A tear slid down her face, cutting into me like a blade.
Maybe we have different ideas about what our marriage should be. What if that's not going to change?
Ava. I put my arm around her and pulled her closer, grateful when she leaned into me and put her head on my shoulder. Not surrender, more like a momentary truce. Good enough.
That's an important question, Dr. Peterson said. So let's explore it. What if the level of disclosure you want from Gideon isn't something he will ever feel comfortable with?
I don't know.
She swiped at her tears.
I don't know where that leaves us.
All the hope she'd had when we entered the room was gone. Stroking her hair, I tried to come up with something to say that would take things back to the way they'd been when we arrived. Lost, I told her. You quit your job for me, even though you didn't want to. I told you about my dream, even though I didn't want to. Isn't that how this works? We both compromise?
You left your job, Ava? Dr. Peterson asked. Why?
she curled into my side. It was starting to cause more trouble than it was worth. Besides, Gideon's right. He gave a little, so it seems only fair to give a little too.
I wouldn't say what either of you compromised was little. And both of you chose to open our session with other things first, which suggests neither of you are completely comfortable with the sacrifice.
He sat back, setting his tablet in his lap.
Have either of you asked yourselves why you're in such a hurry?
We both looked at him.
He smiled.
You're both frowning, so I'll take that as a no. As a couple, you have a lot of strengths. You may not be sharing everything, but you're communicating, and you're doing so productively. There's some anger and frustration, but you're expressing them and validating each other's feelings.
Ava straightened. But?
You're also both pushing personal agendas and manipulating each other to make them happen. My concern is that their issues and changes that would naturally present themselves and be resolved in time, but neither of you wants to wait. You're both driving your relationship forward on an accelerated schedule. It's only been 3 months since you two met for the first time. At this point, most couples are deciding to date exclusively, but you two have been married for nearly a month.
I felt my shoulders going back. What's the point in delaying the inevitable?
If it's inevitable, he responded, his eyes kind, why rush it?
But that's not my point. You're both jeopardizing your marriage by forcing each other to act before you're ready. You each have ways of coping with adverse situations. Gideon, you disassociate, as you've done with your family. Ava, you blame yourself for why the relationship isn't working and start subverting your own needs, as you've demonstrated with your previous self-destructive romantic relationships. If you continue to maneuver each other into situations where you feel threatened, you will eventually trigger one of these self-defense mechanisms.
As my pulse began to race, I felt Ava stiffen. She'd said as much to me before, but I knew hearing it from a shrink would validate that worry for her. I pulled her closer, breathing her in to calm myself. The hatred I felt for Hugh and Nathan in that moment was vicious. They were both dead and buried, but they were still fucking up our lives.
"We're not going to let them win,"
Ava whispered. I pressed a kiss to the top of her head, fiercely grateful for her. Her thoughts were like mine, and that filled me with a sense of wonder. Her head tilted back, her fingertips drifting along my jaw, her gray eyes soft and tender.
"I can't hold out against you, you know. It hurts too much to stay away. Just because you cross the battle lines first doesn't mean I'm less invested. It just means I'm more stubborn.
I don't want to fight with you."
"So let's not," she said simply. "We started something new today. You talking, me quitting. Let's stick with it for a while and see where that takes us."
"I can do that." I'd originally planned to take Ava somewhere quiet and tucked away for dinner, but I changed the venue to the Crosby Street Hotel instead. The restaurant was popular, and the hotel was known to often have paparazzi nearby. I wasn't prepared to go to any extremes, but as we discussed with Dr. Peterson, I was open to meeting her halfway. We would find our middle ground.
"How pretty,"
she said, as we followed the hostess to our seats, her gaze taking in the pale blue walls and subdued pendant lighting. When we reached our table, I scanned the space as I pulled the chair out for her. She was attracting attention, as she always did. Ava was a stunner by any measure, but her sex appeal was something you had to witness firsthand. It was there in the way she moved, the way she carried herself, in the curve of her smile. And she was mine.
The glance I spared the other diners made that patently clear. I took the seat opposite her, admiring the way the light of the candle on the table gilded her golden skin and hair. The gloss on her lips invited long, deep kisses, as did the look in her eyes. No one had ever looked at me the way she did, with total acceptance and understanding blended in with the love and desire. I could tell her anything, and she would believe me. Such a simple gift, but so rare and precious. Only my silence could push her away, never the truth. Angel, I took her hand. I'm going to ask you again, and then I'll let it go. Are you sure you want to quit your job? You won't hold it against me 20 years from now? There's nothing we can't fix or undo, if you just say the word.
20 years from now, you might be working for me, Ace.
Her husky laugh floated through the air and stirred my hunger for her.
Don't worry, okay? It was actually kind of a relief. I've got a lot on my plate. Packing, moving, planning. When that's all behind us, I'll figure out what's next.
I knew her well. If she'd had doubts, I would have sensed them. What I'd picked up on instead was something different. Something new. There was a fire inside her. I couldn't take my eyes off her, even as I ordered wine. After the server walked away, I lounged back, enjoying the simple pleasure of staring at my gorgeous wife. Ava wet her lips with a teasing swipe of her tongue and leaned forward.
You are so insanely hot.
My mouth quirked. Am I now? Her calf rubbed mine.
You are, by far, the hottest man in the room, which makes this really fun. I like showing you off.
I gave an exaggerated sigh. You still just want me for my body.
Totally. Who cares about your billions? You've got better assets.
I trapped her wandering leg between my ankles. Like my wife. She's the most valuable thing I own.
Her brows rose with amusement. Own, huh?
She smiled at the server when he returned with our bottle. As he poured, Ava's foot drifted up to tease me, her eyes heavy-lidded and hot. I pushed the glass toward her, watched her swirl the dark red wine, lift the glass to her nose, then take a swallow. The hum of pleasure she made as she approved my choice sent a surge of heat through me, which was certainly her intent. The slow stroking along my leg was maddening. I grew harder by the minute, already more than primed by days of deprivation. I hadn't known sex could quench a deeper thirst, until Ava. Taking a sip out of my freshly poured glass, I waited until the server walked away. Have you changed your mind about waiting?
No. Just keeping things interesting.
Two can play, I warned. She grinned.
That's what I'm counting on.
3. Where will you go from here? I asked Gideon, as he escorted me into the lobby of my apartment building. The Upper West Side was my home, for now. Gideon's penthouse was on the Upper East. The vast green expanse of Central Park divided us, one of the few things between us that was easily crossed. I waved at Chad, one of the night staff at the front desk. He smiled back at me and gave a polite nod to Gideon.
I'm going up with you,
Gideon replied, his hand pressed lightly against the small of my back. I was hyper aware of that touch, It conveyed possession and control effortlessly and made me so hot, which only made it harder for me to deny us both when we reached the elevator. We need to say goodbye right here, Ace.
Ava.
I don't have the willpower, I confessed, feeling the pull of his need. He'd always been able to lure me in just by the force of his will. It was one of the things I loved about him, one of the ways I knew we were meant to be. The connection we had, it was soul deep. You and me with a bed nearby is a bad idea. He stared down at me with a wry curve to his lips that was sexy as hell.
That's what I'm counting on.
Count down instead to our wedding. That's what I'm doing, minute by minute. And it was excruciating. My physical connection to Gideon was as vital to me as our emotional one. I loved him, loved touching him, soothing him, giving him what he needed. My right to do so meant everything to me. I gripped his forearm, gently squeezing the rock-hard muscle beneath his sleeves. I'm missing you, too.
You don't have to miss me.
Pulling him aside, I lowered my voice. You say when, you say how, I murmured, repeating the basic tenet of our sex life. And part of me really wants you to say when, right now. But there's something I want more than that. I'll call you later tonight, after I talk to Carrie a bit, and tell you what that is. The smile faded. His gaze turned avid.
You can just come next door and tell me now.
I shook my head. When Nathan had been a threat, Gideon had taken up residence in the apartment directly beside mine, watching over me and ensuring I was safe, even though I didn't know it. He could do that sort of thing because he owned the building, one of many that belonged to him in the city. You need to go to the penthouse, Gideon. Just relax and enjoy that beautiful place we'll be sharing soon.
It's not the same without you there. It feels empty.
That hit me hard. Before I'd come along, Gideon had structured his life so he could be alone in every way. Work, interspersed with occasional hookups and avoidance of his family. I'd changed that, and I didn't want him to regret it. Now's your chance to get rid of all the things you don't want me to find when I move in, I teased, still trying to keep things light.
You know all my secrets.
Tomorrow, we'll be together in Westport.
Tomorrow's too far away.
Pushing up onto my tiptoes, I kissed his jaw. You'll sleep through some of it and work through the rest. Then I whispered, we could sext. You can see how creative I can be.
I prefer the original over reproductions.
I dropped my voice to a purr. Video, then, with sound. He turned his head and caught my lips, taking my mouth in a long, deep kiss.
This is love,
he murmured.
Agreeing to this.
I know. I smiled and pulled back to hit the button for the elevator. You could send me naughty pics, too, you know. His eyes narrowed.
You want pictures of me, Angel. You'll have to take them yourself.
Backing into the elevator, I wagged a finger at him. Spoil sport. The doors started to close. I had to grip the handrail to stop myself from dashing back out to him. Happiness came in so many forms. Mine was Gideon.
Miss me.
He ordered. I blew him a kiss. Always. When I opened the door to my apartment, I was hit with two things at once. The smell of recent cooking and the sounds of Sam Smith. It felt like home, but I was abruptly struck with sadness that it wouldn't be home for much longer. Not that I doubted the future I'd accepted when I married Gideon, because I didn't. I was so excited about the thought of living with him, being his wife in private and public, sharing my days and nights with him. Still, change was harder when you were happy with the pre-change version of your life. Honey, I'm home! I called out, dropping my bag on one of the teak wood bar stools at the breakfast bar. My mom had decorated the entire apartment in a modern, traditional style. I probably wouldn't have gone with some of her choices, but I liked the result.
Right here, sweet cheeks,
Carrie drawled, drawing my attention across the open floor plan to where he lay sprawled on our living room sofa in board shorts and no T-shirt. He was lean and tanned, his abs as beautifully defined as Gideon's. Even off duty, he looked like the super hot male model he was.
How was dinner?
Good. I headed over to him, kicking off my heels on the way. I figured I should enjoy doing that while I could. I couldn't picture myself leaving shoes strewn around Gideon's penthouse. I thought it might drive him a little crazy. And since I was sure there were other things I'd drive him crazy with, it was probably best to pick my vices carefully. How was yours? Smells like you cooked.
Pizza. Semi-homemade. It's what Tat was craving.
Who doesn't crave pizza? I said, plopping gracelessly onto the couch. Is she still here?
Nah.
He glanced away from the TV to look at me, his green eyes serious.
She left all pissed off. I told her we wouldn't be moving in together.
Oh. To be honest, I didn't like Tatiana Sherlin. Like Carrie, she was a successful model, although she hadn't yet attained his level of recognition. Carrie had met her on a job. Their purely sexual relationship had shifted drastically when she'd found out she was pregnant. Unfortunately, she'd discovered she was expecting around the same time Carrie found a great guy he wanted to work on a relationship with. Big decision, I said.
And I'm not sure it's the right one.
He ran a hand over his gorgeous face.
If Trey weren't in the picture, I'd be doing the right thing by Tat.
Who says you aren't? Being a good parent doesn't mean you have to live together. Look at my mom and dad.
Fuck! He groaned. I feel like I'm choosing myself over my child, Ava. What does that make me, if not a selfish bastard?
It's not like you're cutting her off. I know you'll be there for her and the baby. Just not in that way. Reaching over, I twirled a lock of his chocolate brown hair around my finger. My best friend had suffered through so much in his life. The twisted way he'd been introduced to sex and love had left him with a lot of baggage and bad habits. So Trey's going to stick?
He hasn't decided.
Did he call you? Carrie shook his head.
No. I broke down and called him before he forgot about me altogether.
I gave him a little push. As if that could ever happen. You, Carrie Taylor, are utterly unforgettable.
Ha! Huh. He stretched out with a sigh. He didn't sound too happy to hear from me. Said he's still working some stuff out in his head.
Which means he's thinking about you.
Yeah. Thinking he dodged a bullet.
Carrie muttered.
He said it was never going to work for us if I was living with Tat. But when I told him I'd fix that, he said that would just make him feel like an asshole for getting in the way. It's a no-win, but I laid it all out for Tat anyway because I have to try.
It's a tough spot to be in. I couldn't imagine it myself. Just try to make the best decisions you can. You have a right to be happy. That's the best thing for everyone around you, including the baby.
If there is a baby.
His eyes closed.
Tad says she's not doing this alone. If I'm not going to be there, she doesn't want to go through with it.
Isn't it getting a little late for her to say that? I couldn't keep the anger out of my voice. Tatiana was a manipulator. It was impossible not to look ahead and see that being a source of misery for an innocent kid.
I can't even think about it, Ava. I lose my shit. It's all so fucked up.
He huffed out a humorless laugh.
To think I once said she was easy to deal with. She's never cared that I'm bisexual, and she didn't care if I slept around. Part of me feels good that she cares enough now to want to be exclusive, but I can't help how I feel about Trey.
He turned his troubled gaze away. It tore me up to see him so down. Maybe I should talk to her, I offered. He tilted his head back to look at me.
How is that supposed to help? You two don't get along.
I'm not a fan, I admitted. But I can work around that. A woman-to-woman talk, if it's done right, could help.